What episode are we up to? Oh, yeah, 15. It says right there.
Oh, yeah, it does. I was going to say
look 14. At that. It's episode 15.
It's crazy. It's
oh, offbeat tracks.
In the title.
I can't believe 15 episodes. Every time I'm like, oh, well, here we are for another week.
I know. So many weeks.
But we're still doing this.
Have we grown as people in that time?
I think
Have you
so.
Grown as a person?
I've learned a lot.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, you've taught me some songs here and there that I didn't know.
You've taught me a lot.
Today we wanted to talk about Kashif. Kashif is pretty offbeat in the sense that his recording career was for a very esoteric audience. And by that, yes. I mean like a 1980s R&B Quiet Storm Radio listening audience.
Yes.
We're probably the only people who would recognize his music or probably even his name. But his production credits are very deep, and he mm-hmm. was quite the musical pioneer for a sound that would really carry the early 80s, I think, in the R&B field. So
yes,
we
definitely.
Wanted to talk about him because he just passed away a few weeks ago, and I've had a couple of his 12-inch singles forever. So, I think just because of the nature of who he is and what our knowledge base is, this probably isn't going to be a very long episode, but I think we still wanted to do a proper tribute to him because we considered him an important figure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's coming up in, the early, mid-80s, some late-80s stuff. But back then, really, the charts were still very segregated in a lot of ways. You
yes.
had a few crossover artists that came out of, the disco-funk era, like Kool & the Gang and Michael Jackson and Prince. They transcended.
Right.
But the R&B charts, if you look at them throughout the years, so segregated.
Totally
There's,
different
like, stuff
world.
You're like, what the hell is this?
Exactly. Radio.
Yeah.
It was still, it was pre-internet, and things were just still mm-hmm. so split. It was like there were, you would go into a section in the record store, and so if that wasn't what you were listening to, you would never walk over there and
exactly.
never get exposed to any of these artists. And like you said, there were a few that broke through and had the pop appeal and crossover, but it really was just a universe all its own, and Kashif was very much in that
exactly.
that universe.
Yeah, I remember when I first heard Kashif, because I was in college, and they had this radio station in Cincinnati, where I went to college. And it was the best radio station I've ever heard to this day, Mojo 94.9.
Mojo.
And it's like, it was like old school R&B all the time. And it was awesome. So they would play like a lot of funk and disco stuff that you would know. But it would also play stuff like Kashif. And like, I discovered so much music. It was the first time I ever heard Orange Juice Jones's The Rain. And my life changed. First time I ever heard like Herbie Hancock.
Wow.
Was on there. They played all this stuff. And they played a lot of Kashif because that was their target audience.
Exactly.
And it was awesome.
I just knew who he was because I had picked up some of his 12-inch singles along the years. Every time I saw somebody that looked interesting, I would grab one, and it was like, oh,
he did have a good mustache.
Here's a single-named artist from the 80s with a 12-inch dance single. This is probably going to rule. So
mm-hmm.
that's how I knew who he was. Kashif is from New York City. His real name's Michael Jones. When he was young, he joined a group called BT Express. I'd never heard of BT Express.
I had not either.
Just one of those things, but he was in this group called BT Express,
mm-hmm.
and had a couple of hits with them. I think he was playing keyboards for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, he was a keyboard guy.
The keyboard was like his instrument.
Oh, yes.
And it was during this time that he converted to Islam. I saw a couple of various reports, you have to be very careful with people who don't have a lot of biographical information
yeah.
out, because I think some of these news sources tend to start pulling from each other. So like New York Times, Washington Post, Pitchfork, they all had articles about Kashif after he
mm-hmm.
passed away. And a lot of the biographical information overlapped, but some of it, like, I mean, I read one article that said that he was born in 1956 and then joined BT Express in 1974 at age 15. And I'm like, hold on. Doop, doop, doop. GIF of math numbers flying around my head. Like, this does not add up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
He
have to be careful with things like that. So we don't want to misreport anything. But yes, at a young age at some point, he joined BT Express, excuse me, and converted to Islam.
Yes, and Kashif Salim.
Yeah, changed his name to Kashif Salim. And a couple of the reports said that he was like encouraged by a band member to do that. And I kind of get the impression that maybe BT Express was made up of guys who were Muslim. And I think that probably was how he got into it. But yeah, at some point before the end of the 70s, he changed his name to Kashif Salim. And that was the name he would hold for the rest of his life.
And for a album sleeve looks a lot better as Kashif than Michael Jones.
Yeah, Michael Jones, right.
It works. It was a good move.
So Kashif started doing his solo stuff by the end of the 70s, but his earliest credit that I could find is on a Melba Moore album from 1981. The album was called What a Woman Needs, and he even has a remix credit on the single Under Love.
Hmm.
So there you go. We'll put a little.
Yeah, I think he had some later stuff with Melba too. So I guess he and Melba were buds.
That's definitely something Kashif. You would see he would revisit these folks that he worked with early in his career.
Yes,
they would come back and be on his records. But yeah, he did this Melba Moore album, What a Woman Needs, and he's on this single Under Love. So here's a clip of that. It's the best. You got me. He was also on Evelyn King's album the same year, I'm in Love. In my notes, I wrote Evelyn, no champagne yes, yet, King.
No champagne yet, King.
She was just Evelyn King then. It was not classy enough for the champagne, I guess.
I loved her when she did the champagne thing.
Yes.
It's always like Evelyn quotes Champagne King. And I don't know why that's so funny, why she just didn't stick the champagne. But it is to me.
It was like a harbinger of your friends on Facebook now who have names like EJ, I know my role and I play it well, Johnson.
That is one aspect of culture I do not understand on Facebook. But sometimes I'll have a few drinks and I want to put something silly in my name.
What would your ridiculous Facebook middle name be?
Oh, I don't know. Danielle.
Danielle, don't talk to me when a Falco record is on.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to come up with a good one.
Yes, you should. Hashtag long Facebook names.
Hashtag okay.
That should be yours. Danielle, okay. But like.
With
the shrugging emoji. Exactly. Yes. You got me.
Yeah.
Kashif also was a part of Artists United Against Apartheid, and that's exciting.
Yes, Sun City for life.
Yeah, so this was before he was, or I guess it would have been right around when he was releasing his first solo record, because the first solo record came in 83, and I think was Artists United Against Apartheid 83 or 84?
85 or 86. It wasn't.
Oh, was that late?
The first big charity single was. I love charity singles, so I know a lot about this.
Oh yes.
Charities. The first big one was.
Do They Know It's Christmas?
Yes, that was the first big one. Followed really closely by We Are the World.
Uh-huh.
So there were kind of like a few, and then like the whole Live Aid thing happened, and then I think it was like 86, maybe late 85 was Sun City.
Yeah, it was 85. 1985, October 1985. Wow, I had no idea it was that late.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, I mean, I guess apartheid didn't end until 1990, so there you go.
You want to argue if it has ended?
Well, touche.
Maybe the world is apartheid.
Anyway. So Kashif starts releasing, his first solo album comes out in 83. Mm-hmm. And to put this in perspective, though, Kashif, like, we're going to talk about his solo music here, but Kashif was producing for basically anybody who was on the R&B charts in this time.
Yeah, in like early 80s, he's doing a ton of production stuff. He's a studio musician. He's singing backup on stuff.
Right.
But he comes into, you know, the record companies, like I think it was Arista maybe? I can't remember.
Yes.
Arista comes in and says, hey, we want you as a solo artist. And he's like, okay.
And this is just a partial list. Like we've already mentioned that he produced for Melba Moore and for Evelyn King. Whitney Houston, George Benson, Nonni Hendrix, Stacey Ladislaw, Johnny Kemp, Debbie Allen, Glenn Jones. I mean, these are like, this is the who's who of the 1980s R&B charts.
R&B.
He was on records with all these people. So, he was a studio legend, really.
Mm-hmm.
I love this quote that I found from Questlove, the drummer Questlove.
Oh, yes.
He put this on his Instagram the day that Kashif died. This was his quote explaining to like his followers who Kashif was. He said, I'd say next to Leon Silvers and Leroy Burgess, no one helped evolve the genre of boogie more than this man. Boogie was a more refined, slowed down feel of disco without all the cliche and corny that it evolved to in the late 70s.
Yeah.
What Boogie did was slow disco down. Boogie is the sound of your parents and aunties getting down at a family reunion barbecue. That's
exactly what it is.
That's a great quote.
That's exactly what, it's his music is, it's not...
It is. It's like,
got some dance elements to it, but it's not like all out dance music. It's
right.
Got that big
it's groove
beat.
Music.
Yeah.
It's groove music. And I love this stuff because I love synth bass.
Yes.
And there is no better synth bass than the stuff that you will hear in this music.
Oh, yes.
And Kashif, he was like really the earliest example, mm-hmm. I think, of like somebody doing really hardcore like synthesizer bass with like a, you know, a real wubby analog synth
sound. Yeah, I was reading about that, how he really influenced R&B moving sure. into that.
And he would really go on to influence guys like Chucky Booker, who would go on, you know, go on to really make synth bass a super yeah. amazing thing. But yeah, he was kind of the first one doing it. So mm-hmm. let's talk about a couple of Kashif singles here. His yes. his first one, which would be one of his bigger hits, mm-hmm. Is called I Just Gotta Have You, Lover Turn Me On. This was like his very first single, 1983. Did not chart on the Hot 100. It was like a bubbling under, as they would call it now. I don't think they had that chart then, but yeah. it peaked at 103 on the pop charts. But it was a number 5 R&B hit, and it hit number 28 dance also, which is so funny because it's a very mid-tempo song.
Yeah, but it's got a dance groove. I can see it. You can play it and people can dance to it. It's not that not dancey. That's yes. a terrible way of wording that. But I mean, it does have a beat you can dance to. It's just sure. not all out dance club music.
For sure. It's not high energy dance.
No.
I also just wanted to remark the song Stone Love.
I love Stone Love. It's my favorite.
Did you notice a similarity to the Skritti Politti song Wood Bees?
Now that I'm thinking about it.
I mean, like, it's pretty undeniable. Like, yeah. I'll put a clip
Stone
side by
Love
side
is pre-Wood Bees, right? Because yes, Skritti Politti's 85.
Stone Love was a year before Wood Bees. Mm. Wood Bees came out 84 and Stone Love was 83. So, yeah. When I started, that song came on, I was like, this is Wood Bees. No, it's Stone Love.
Kashif. Yeah, I never really thought about that. I mean, Wood Bees is a very R&B-ish song.
Yes, as most of Skritti's songs were.
Like, that truly is like, pray like Aretha Franklin. Oh, anyway, we're not talking about Wood Bees, but they are very similar. Stone Love is probably my favorite Kashif song.
I mean, I
love that song.
I would go as far to say it, I mean, it's almost a sample. If it's not a sample, it's a pretty direct ripoff.
I'm going to re-listen to it and...
Okay, so here's a clip from this is the beginning of Stone Love, Kashif.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that string.
Okay, so there's Stone Love.
It's that string, yeah.
That's just the beginning, opening groove of Stone Love right there. Okay. So now here's Skritti Politti Wood Bees, which came out the next year.
Here it is. Yeah, it's that string.
There
it's
you go.
A similar enough beat, but that string is the same.
Yeah, I think it's pretty darn similar.
Yeah. Well.
Just worth noting. Oh man, that's good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if that. I wonder if that was something that they acknowledged.
I don't. I tried to find it anywhere in the Skritti Politti liner notes that like. There was
you think
a sample,
Skritti Politti got away with one?
I don't
Should we tell?
Maybe. Could have just been pure coincidence, but whatever.
Yeah.
Kashif's next record came out the very next year, 84, and he had a single called Baby Don't Break Your Baby's Heart. I looked through my 45. I actually have this 45 of this one in my collection. Yeah, I had a couple of his 12 inches from like his later stuff, but yeah, I totally had the 45 of this song. This, again, another big R&B hit. This is number 6 in the R&B chart. Yeah. Also charted dance, which is funny because... still fairly mid-tempo.
It's got a groove, but it really doesn't match what was going on the dance charts at that moment either.
No, not at all.
The weirdest part about that.
And as far as his sound evolving, I think the first couple ones, you know, it was almost like a P-funk, but kind of slowed mm-hmm. down P-funk kind of thing. It was like he was taking P-funk instruments and writing soul music with them.
Yes.
This one is getting more, he's getting more electronic.
Yeah.
With this one, like the synths are becoming more prominent on Baby Don't Break Your Baby's Heart. It's like he's getting really into his synthesizers.
Yeah, but he's still keeping the R&B soul kind of backbeat
with
it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't really merge. It doesn't go far from that. Don't worry, baby.
I had no idea that Kashif did a song with Kenny G.
I didn't either. And it was actually, I think that might have been, I was looking at this because, you know, when you're a little kid, you remember this in the early 90s? Kenny G was like the ultimate, like, punchline.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we did not know anything about Kenny G. We just knew he was the lamest human being
exactly,
on the planet.
Exactly, yes.
So I was actually thinking, like, looking through this, like, Kenny G, I was like, oh, my God, is this how Kenny G became famous? Because he's doing, like, these hits with Kashif?
Oh, that didn't even occur to me.
Like, is that what Kenny
G's first, like, thing?
I think it was, or at least this thing that, like, charted, because this chart, Kenny G was charting on R&B charts. I never knew. And, I'm not going to lie, I listened to a lot of it, and it was kind of a jam, Matt.
Yes, this is such a good song. It's a total jam.
And it makes sense now, because, you know, he's a saxophonist.
That guitar, it's like, at the it's got kick-ass
really
guitar.
Good stuff.
Great song.
Yeah, and it makes sense, because he's a saxophonist, and so much of that music at the time, that is really cool music, had saxophone in it.
Yes.
And this whole time, we're making fun of this guy. He did have dumb hair.
And how did we miss that he did a song with Kashif? America was being so unfair to Kenny G.
Do we know Kenny G? Because he worked with Kashif and Kashif made him cool. Well, I think that probably...
Temporarily.
Yeah, temporarily cool. Yeah, I had no idea. I was like, why did he do this? But it was a jam and it was awesome and you should listen to it. But don't tell anyone if you feel bad.
...1986, Kashif's up to his third record now. It's called Condition of the Heart, and mm-hmm. we wanted to talk about the title track here. I think with this one, he's definitely leaning more toward the Quiet Storm sound that I mentioned earlier.
It is.
It's a little bit less electronic.
It's a lot more just like smooth down romantic soul.
Yes.
I want to be your doctor.
Quiet Storm, yes. That's what it was. It was all the rage then. It was Quiet Storm radio. I mean, there were stations that just played nothing mm-hmm. but this stuff. And yeah, this is like textbook Quiet Storm music.
Oh yes. Oh yes it is.
I had to bring up this one from 87, this duet that he did with Dionne Warwick.
I love Dionne Warwick, by the way.
Called Reservations for Two. And we're going to put the music video for Reservations for Two. It's one of Kashif's rare music videos. He did not do many videos, but there is a music mm-hmm. video for this song. And you have to see this thing. Because I'm watching it, and already I'm going, a romantic duet between Kashif and Dionne Warwick. That's a little odd, because she has to be 20 years older than he is. So I'm like, okay, whatever. It was the 80s. Maybe people didn't care.
She still looked pretty young.
And so, like, she's, like, opening her this little love note, and it's like, doop, doop, oh, I'm singing Reservations for Two. I got dinner reservations with Kashif. And, like, he's away somewhere else, and you see him, like, getting the flowers and preparing for the date, and then she's sitting at the restaurant, and you're like, I guess this is the thing. This is happening.
I watched this.
Hashtag age ain't nothing but a number. Wow. But anyway, then you have to see how the video ends, because at the end they make it all okay, and I'm like, oh, all right, I get it now. Yes, but we'll put this video
on
the playlist.
Does she play his mom?
No, she's not his mom. Okay. That would have been a little sad.
No,
it's a happy ending for everyone. We'll say that. Reservations for Two, Dionne Warwick, big hit. This was, I believe, his biggest chart hit.
Yeah, it's that very smooth, romantic soul again. It's a little bit cheesy, but it's good and it's nice, romantic. You can make some sweet love to it.
Just one more to talk about here from Kashif's last poppy album. Poppy. I mean, I don't.
Is this like his? Because he did have two.
Yeah, he had two more after this. But
he had two self-named albums. By the way, he had Kashif number one and then Kashif number two.
Dude, how did I not even notice that? You're right.
Yeah, that the one from like 83 is
called Kashif, and the one from 89 is also called
Kashif. I know. It's like he's
a baller move.
I know. He's like, my name's so badass. I'm going to name an album after myself twice.
I did not even notice that.
You didn't?
How funny.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, he had a big, he had a hit on this with the cover of Ain't No Woman Like the One I've Got, which it's pretty good. It's very like late 80s stuff. But the one I wanted to talk about was Personality.
Yes.
Because on the surface, like Personality is so Sign of the Times, New Jack Swing.
Goofiness. It is.
He was just like whatever was going on with R&B at the time. Like you just look to whatever Kashif was releasing at that moment in the 80s. And it will tell you exactly what really good R&B was sounding like at that time. I mean, this dude was just at the forefront of it at every moment through the 80s. He was.
Yeah. And this song is so just like 1989, that New Jack Swing kind of
so
feeling of pop. Like it's as of all, like out of all of his hits, I would say this is the one that is the most like pop chart.
Oh, totally. One.
I mean,
totally,
it is pop.
And this charted number six R&B. He also, what I love about this, Personality is that it's deceptive in that it seems like, oh, it's just a generic, you know, R&B song, but I found myself like humming it still. Every time I put on the 12-inch, it's like still 20 minutes later, I'm going, Personality. Oh, yeah. Personality. Like,
it's catchy.
It sticks in there.
It's why it was a hit, man. I make her mine. She's so right. Deep wants. She talks. She smiles. Really, really like the sounds.
So, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Kashif passed away a few weeks ago. He did, he continued a career. He put out two more albums after his bigger hit albums, if you will, from the 80s. His most recent album came out in 2004. It was called Music From My Mind. I think Kashif probably was just stuck to songwriting and producing, mostly. It seems like that was his bread and butter. Clearly he was very, very good at it because everybody wanted to work with him.
Exactly.
I noted a couple of articles, I think Washington Post and Pitchfork both mentioned that when Kashif died, he was working on this big 10-part documentary about like the history of hip hop.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know how far he got in it.
I don't know, but
working with,
I hope some of that sees the light of day. That would be pretty cool.
Oh yeah. And he was still, you know, doing concerts up until then.
Oh, sure,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was still, you know, being seen around. It wasn't like he just stopped doing stuff. So he was still pretty active, but yeah, that R&B documentary could be interesting.
Did you know that he also taught courses at UCLA?
In what?
He got a deal with them to do a course about music production. So it was like an extended campus kind of thing. But yeah, he was a professor as well. Thought that was worth mentioning.
That's super cool.
Yeah, he was just really a studio legend and a pioneer of that of that synth bass sound that I like to call it. So yeah, we just wanted to do a little overview, a 30,000 foot overview, if you will, of Kashif's illustrious career and our little tribute to him.
Yeah, he was pretty great. One of those guys behind the scenes who was making the sounds, really.
That's right.
Of the 80s.
And now you know who he is and you're a better person for it.
Yep.
In the meantime, until next week, you can catch us on our website, which is offbeattrackscast.com.
Yes, and we are on Twitter @offbeattracks.
Yes. Till next time, I am Max.
I'm Danielle.
See ya.